The six-part Lifetime documentary series Surviving R. Kelly exploded in this country, and it's soon to be aired overseas. It explores decades of allegations against R&B singer R. Kelly, with more than 50 interviews with women alleging they were sexually, physically, and emotionally abused by R. Kelly.
This man is a monster. That's what he is.
I'm going to call the police and tell them you kidnapped my sister.
This can't keep going on.
You need to see the effects of your behavior.
Now, we should note, as you've probably heard from news coverage, R. Kelly denies all accusations. But all of this has raised more awareness of sexual abuse, sexual harassment in the African American community. And that is Kalima Johnson's life work. She is a sexual assault survivor, and she is the founder and executive director of the Sasha Center in Detroit. Sasha stands for Sexual Assault Services for Holistic Healing and Awareness. Kalima Johnson is with us now via Skype. Welcome to Stateside.
Hi, thank you so much, Cindy. I appreciate this opportunity to talk about the work.
So, Kalima, as all of this buzz has gone on as this Lifetime documentary series, Surviving R. Kelly, aired, what do you make of all of that that's happening around this series?
Well, first of all, I want to say that I found the Surviving R. Kelly series profound. It was a very good job on behalf of Dream Hampton and all the folks that she worked with to produce the Lifetime series. It was a trigger for the African-American community for sure, and it's causing a lot of conversation around a plethora of things, including who's to blame, who should pay for this, who did he fool, who did he not fool, whose fault is it, victim blaming, rape culture, racism, oppression, what happens in the African-American community, should stay in the African-American community. A whole lot of things have come out. I think it's a good thing. We just need to take our time. The whole community needs to take a deep breath, and let's begin to really unpack all of the issues that are related to what they saw, what they experienced, and what we've been fooled to believe. I mean, because overall, this is really not just about R. Kelly. He's a representation of a bigger problem in the African-American community particularly. And as I talk about this, I am going to be talking about it from a perspective of being African-American and of this community, but I am not painting a broad brush because we are very different in all kinds of ways. But there are certain things that we need to really actually talk about.
And talking about the community and moving kind of away from the documentary and into everyday life and what statistics tell us, studies are finding for every African-American woman who reports being sexually assaulted, there are 15 who do not. And then a Brandeis University study found in one locality, prosecutors brought charges in 75% of the claims made by white women, but only 34% of claims made by African-American women are prosecuted. So my question is, Kalima, what is going on here? Why aren't women reporting, and why aren't prosecutors prosecuting?
Okay, so I think that's a very good question, and thank you for framing that around two research studies, because it's really important that people understand why this is. So one of the reasons, and I wrote the model, The Triangulation of Black Women and Rape, is that in this country, if I was to go all the way back to when we were enslaved people in this country, Black women had no dominion over their bodies. They could not decide about who to say yes to, if they could say yes at all. And there was a lot of sexual assault of Black women in this country with no punishment. Like if you go down to the lynching museum in Alabama now, you'll see that all these lynching memorials are about the rape of white women by Black men primarily. But what we know for sure is that no white or Black man was lynched for the rape of a Black woman in this country. It hasn't been marked or assigned or anything. And so we know that Black women's bodies have never been valued to that degree. And so because of that, we also have on top of that the dynamic of the criminal justice system and how the criminal justice system has treated African-American men particularly. And so we know that there's a lot of unfair, biased treatment of Black men, murdering of Black men. And so you have Black women who will participate in group that will say, I'm not going to the police because I want him corrected. I don't want him murdered. Or I don't trust the criminal justice system because they're going to blame me for what I did, because they truly believe that we don't have dominion over our bodies. And they truly believe these negative stereotypes about Black women being easy, being fast, being Jezebels, being prostitutes, or enjoying sex more than everybody else. You know, they make us like we're objects and not human beings with breathing, living cells and bodies, heart and blood. So the problem here is systemic in that the way this country has seen and treated Black women has reflected on the way in which Black women seek and get help. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. Black women have been healing from sexual abuse, assault, and trauma for many years, but they've been doing it in silos and in silence. They have not been doing it in the open public. And I think what this film does and what Sasha Center does particularly is bring attention to how we've been healing, why we've been healing in the ways that we have been healing, and how we can help others understand that our healing is a little different. Because as you already stated, there's a difference in terms of justice, and there's a difference in terms of the type of ways we're getting treated. And we can look at that on all levels, like how we're being treated in the medical system, the educational systems, as well as religious systems, how we're being treated. A lot of times we're expected to be silent. We're expected to take on this heavy weight and this heavy burden of being extra super strong and super women. They're expecting all these things from us. And that puts us at risk of being sexually assaulted, one, but it also puts us at risk from not being able to share that we're in trouble and to ask for that help that we need. So it's layered. It's multi-layered.
Kelly Mead, when you think about how the accusations against Harvey Weinstein started to really form a watershed moment in recognizing the way that a powerful man can force himself on a woman, and it launched the hashtag MeToo movement. Has that movement included Black women in their experiences, in your view?
Yes and no. Okay, so the Me Too movement actually started with Tarana Burke, who was an African-American woman who was putting this stuff out on MySpace. And when Alyssa Milano found out that that was the case, she actually put out a tweet immediately acknowledging Tarana. And then the next thing you know, Tarana was a part of some of those public conversations around the issue of Me Too. I definitely feel like the Me Too movement in some ways was being co-opted. And that happens a lot in our movements, which is why I'm asking every person who can listen to this interview to protect the triangulation of Black women model with their whole selves and their whole souls, because I do not want anybody taking credit for the work that me and my crew and my people from the Sasha Center put together from our lived experiences. A lot of people wish that my model was a dissertation, but it's not. It's a community model. It's a community model because we got direct stories and experiences from people with a little bit of help from doing some research as well, which is extremely important. But what I'm saying to you is that this whole movement, it should be identified for everybody, but clearly it's not for everybody. When we're talking about sexual harassment in the workplace, and then we're talking about sexual assault and rape, those are kind of two different things.
They are.
And you have to think about how we all have experienced these things. But there has never been a movement, and as Angela Davis put it so keenly in one of her statements, in one of her speeches, that Black women still continue to be sorely in need of an anti-rape movement, because we're being treated like the doormat of all these other issues. Like, they don't even see us. It's just, we're just inconsequential. We're invisible. And I think that we need to have more visibility. And I think that the Me Too movement could serve as more visibility, but it's an and in both double-edged sword. You know, when we're running group and we have a survivor that comes in the room and says, I can't even get my mind straight because my mom just posted Me Too and she knows I've been raped. And now I didn't find out she got raped just by watching the hashtag on our Facebook page. And we never talked about it. Huh. That's kind of the dynamic that also is happening in this whole movement, where people are feeling free to hashtag and break the silence and let the world know. But what are you doing beyond that? And that's why Sasha Center is here. We're here to help people process, integrate, use and gain valuable tools and share the tools that they already have for healing. Because what we know is that you're not going to ever forget that you were sexually assaulted. And for those of you who are listening out there in the world, it's not your fault. You didn't do anything wrong. This is going to be a part of you for the rest of your life. You just got to make sure that this trauma doesn't dictate everything in your life, and that you can be and become the best person that you can be in spite of all of the racism, in spite of the oppression, in spite of the victim blaming, in spite of rape culture that exists, that impacts us all. But it's a little extra for women of color, and it's even a little bit more extra for African-American women.
Kalima, briefly explain, what is the triangulation of Black women and rape?
It's a model that explains why it's difficult for Black women to seek services, how it's difficult for services to make their programs culturally relevant and specific for Black women, and why it's difficult for funders to find relevant ways and more creative ways in helping us fund the work. That's really what the triangulation of Black women and rape is. It's a twofold mirror for people to see the behaviors that come from outside our community, but also the behaviors that come from inside our community that has to be addressed in order for Black women to receive and get the best services possible.
I'm talking with Kalima Johnson, who's founder and executive director of the Sasha Center in Detroit, Sexual Assault Services for Holistic Healing and Awareness, as we talk about the challenges of sexual assault and sexual harassment in the Black community. Chance the Rapper, Kalima, has been saying he now regrets collaborating with R. Kelly. Here's a quick clip from an interview with Cassius that he did earlier this month.
Maybe I didn't care because I didn't value the accuser's stories, like, because they were Black women.
I didn't value the accuser's stories because they were Black women. What do you want to say about that statement?
It's heartbreaking. It's sad. And it's true. A lot of people will say that they don't value our stories and they don't believe us. But part of the reason why they don't value our stories and they don't believe us is because we have been treated in this country as subhuman by a lot of folk. And it's hard to come to terms with understanding the truth of the matter and the trauma of the matter when you think that this person is subhuman, or when you think that this person asked for it, or when you think this person is nothing but, you know, something that's lesser valued. Like, for instance, you have Black women like myself who are navigating the world every day as a Black woman doing great things. And yet and still, there'll be somebody who might ask me to show them how to twerk. I don't know how to twerk. But you assume I do because that's all you've ever seen of us. And I'm not trying to diss women that twerk, because somehow those dances in Africa aren't twerking. Mm. But because of the transatlantic slave trade and because of what has happened to us since we've been in this country, it has become sexualized. And so Black women have been sexualized, and we are sexualized from very early. The moment we start developing, even before we start developing, we're treated as if we're older. We're treated as if we're more sexual. And if we treat you that way, then that gives us permission to continue to negate you. And so the fact that he said that was heartbreaking, but it's also true. And it's also something that we really have to address in our communities, inside and outside of our communities. Because if you didn't value our story, that means you didn't value us as human beings.
And that, of course, goes right to the heart of the work that you do at the Sasha Center in Detroit. And we should remind everybody, you can learn a lot more about all of the services and their work by going to the website, which is sashacenter.org, S-A-S-H-A, center.org. Kalima, what has your work meant for you in healing from your sexual assault?
Oh, thank you for saying that and asking me that. It has meant the world. I believe that Sasha Center and its creation and the work that we do is a huge part of my ongoing healing and integration. A lot of people feel like you have to be totally healed in order to do this work, but it ebbs and it flows. For me, being able to create safe spaces for women of color to be able to tell their stories, an untold story, like Maya Angelou says, is just torture if you can't tell it. So, and that's not exactly what she said, but the bottom line is the Sasha Center was created to provide safe space for African American women to finally not just share their stories of trauma, but to be able to share their stories of triumph and how they have recovered and how they have integrated these experiences and how they have lived in spaces where they identify as healed or not. You know, it's just giving them the opportunity. A lot of times, you know, funding sources ask us to identify what did they do as a result of coming to group. And I say, why don't we celebrate the fact that they just were even able to come to group? Because Black women have been ostracized and silenced for so long. To just give them credit for showing up is the first step we need to take. And it has meant the world to me. It has meant that I know that once I take my last breath, that I have left a legacy. I have left something for us to talk about. I have left just a little bit more of an opportunity for us to heal and integrate. I don't take it for granted any day. And I've learned so much from survivors. I've learned so much, and our facilitators are amazing. And women who have shared their stories for the first time. We'll have women in intergenerational groups that are sharing for the first time at 17 and sharing for the first time at 70. And they all matter. They all matter.
Kalima Johnson, founder, executive director of the Sasha Center in Detroit. Again, the website is sashacenter.org. Kalima, thank you for sharing your work with us.
Thank you so much, Cindy, for the opportunity.